Psalm 114 is one of the Egyptian Hallel Psalms. What that means is that this is a psalm that is praising God for his deliverance of his people from the Egyptians. God wants all people of the world to remember what he has done in the past for Israel, and he wants them trembling about what he can do at any time in the future. And verse 1 actually starts by picking up the narrative when Israel left Egypt and God started doing some wonderful and miraculous things for Israel. However, according to verse 2, it must have actually been written after the kingdom split, because there's a reference to Judah in the south and Israel in the north. The Exodus occurred in 1440 BC, and the division of the kingdom occurred about 926 BC. So nearly 515 years has transpired between the Exodus and the division of the kingdom. During those 515 years, Israel and the rest of the world, for the most part, had not seen God doing the dramatic. After the Exodus, there are some amazing things that happen in Joshua, but then the dramatic things seem to be disappearing. Miraculous episodes are few and far between. It was in this very context that Israel and the rest of the world needed to be reminded to fear God and praise God. There's a powerful God who deserves to be worshipped and praised, and he is to be reverenced and feared. So it's imperative that the world does not lose sight of God and of Israel, because he once again will display that greatness with that nation. What God has done and will do for Israel is the reason why the entire world should worship God and at least appreciate the nation of Israel. So God is to be feared and worshipped by all peoples of the world, because Israel is his protected property, and one day God will once again deliver her and establish her as his nation. Now we first see that God chose Israel to become the property of God. Look at verses 1 and 2 of Psalm 114. When Israel went out from Egypt, the house of Jacob, from a people of strange language, Judah became his sanctuary, Israel his dominion. Now, the emphasis of these verses is that God specifically chose Israel and eventually showed that to the entire world. Israel was God's chosen nation since Genesis 12, but it was not until the Exodus when God displayed that to Israel and the rest of the world. One commentator said that Exodus was really the birthday of Israel. Verse 1 describes Israel's situation. She had been in Egypt, went forth from Egypt, and then she had been dominated by a foreign power who spoke a strange language. And so the point of reminding Israel and us of this is that just because Israel is dominated by people of a strange language does not mean that is the way it will always be. And then verse 2 tells what eventually happened. Judah became the sanctuary of God, and Israel became the dominion of God. For a while, Israel was dominated by foreign powers who spoke a foreign language. For a while, she was a nation of slaves, but God set her free. And Israel's domination came to an end. And in the end, she was the property of God. Oh, we may relate so much to what has been done here, because we are in a situation in which we're the property of God. And when we've been beaten down, we remember that things now are, and these are not always the things that will be. In the end, God's property will be displayed to be God's property. Nature recognized Israel was the property of God. In verses 3 through 6, the sea looked and fled. Jordan turned back. The mountains skipped like rams. The hills like lambs. What ails you, O sea, that you flee? O Jordan, that you turn back. O mountains, that you skip like rams. O hills, like lambs. So, God's presence was with Israel. It had a profound effect on nature. And it's not a coincidence that this is mentioned, because God delivers Israel again, nature will display it. In fact, there are references to the waters and the mountains, both of which will be used by God in the tribulation as he regathers Israel and makes her his own nation again. The Red Sea looked at Israel and fled back. The sea takes a lot of lives every year. About 7,000 people die by drowning in the United States every year. Well, the sea became a place of salvation for the Israelites. They did not have any boats or life jackets. God parted the sea, and the Israelites walked right through the middle of it. Now, the reason the sea fled back to the point that Israel could walk across it was because of the presence and power of God. God was the one who parted the sea for Israel. God has done this for, not done this for any other nation, and the foreign nations of the world would do well to remember this event. The Jordan River looked at Israel and turned back. This great event occurred in Joshua 3, 15 through 17. It's the beginning of Israel entering the, taking the promised land. God parted the Jordan for Israel, and about 2 million people walked right through the middle of it on dry ground. Again, the reason that Jordan did this was because of the presence and power of God, which shows that Israel is God's property. The mountains shook when God personally came to Israel. And in Exodus 19, 16 through 18, Mount Sinai thundered and shook because of the presence of God connected to Israel. And the point is driven home because he asks some questions. He says, what ails the sea that it would flee? What ails the Jordan that it would turn back? What ails the mountains and the hills that skip like rams and lambs? Why did the sea flee, the Jordan turn back, and the mountains shake? Why? Because the presence of God was with Israel. As one writer said, the awe-inspiring presence of God in regard to his nation Israel caused it all. God is to be worshipped and feared because of it. And then all people of the earth should tremble before the God of Israel. Verses 7 and 8. Tremble, O earth, at the presence of the Lord, the presence of the God of Jacob, who turns the rock into a pool of water, the flint into a spring of water. The point of this is to get the people of the world to realize and tremble at the thought that God is the God of Israel. He's the God of Jacob. In fact, verse 7 will occur when Christ comes to regather Israel. So you notice the trembling is before the Lord. God is the one who monitors one's attitude toward him and toward Israel. In verse 8, we learn that God turned a hard rock into a spring and pool of water. Only God could do this. And again, he did this for Israel. But the truth is, God is still in the business of doing something like this. God still is in the business of turning flint-like hardened hearts into life-producing flow of the fruit of the Spirit of God. The psalm is designed to cause people to remember what God previously did for Israel, because he will, and in the future, do these same kind of things again. So, he will display his power with thunder, lightning, and earthquakes. And we see this even in the book of Revelation 8 and Revelation 16. He will display his power with the mountains. He will display his power with the seas and fresh water supplies. He will use the sun, the moon, and stars. So God has the power to protect and deliver his property. Nature fears God and responds to God, and so should we. Israel is God's nation, and wise are those who honor God and honor Israel. And then God has a future program in which he will miraculously deliver Israel, and his past deliverances prove he has the power to do it again.